guys, welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am back here in New York City finally, and I am here with one of your favorite guests, the very amazing and a talented man who has a lot of historical facts and has a lot of solutions and has become a favorite amongst my followers. Welcome back, Patriot Paul. We know you're here with ideas and solutions to help save this country, and it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Mel. It's good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
I'm coming today with some solutions and a plan for moving forward. We need to get the genie or the demon back into the inside the Constitution. A lot of people don't realize that the a lot of the law enforcement agencies and the politicians and things like that have outgrown and grown outside illegally the Constitution because of the deep state. Okay. And not to get into too much of a deep review of my other segments, basically what has to happen is we need to compress the agencies into the constitutionally established agencies. And it's actually very, very simple to do. There's going to be some griping and groaning of, you know, some people with egos and you know, the oath breakers that want to try to continue their power and things like that. But once we get things going and we get the genie put back in the bottle, it'll be a lot easier to maintain at this point. And we, the people, according to the founders, we are the foundation of everything. We have the ultimate authority. We have the rights of choice. We have the right to put the people in where we need to put them in and who we want, not the deep state, not foreign countries and whatever. So the first thing we need to do, just a quick review, is the difference between a law and pretended legislation. Okay. Pretended legislation is what the founding fathers called anything that is presented legislation-wise that is in obvious violation of the Constitution. And merely presenting that information, the easiest example, because it's black and white and cut and dry, as an example, is anything to do with the Second Amendment. Right. The Second Amendment is the law, period. Just the mere existence of something called gun control, all right, is completely illegal.
Right.
And anyone that proposes that has violated their oath. So the first thing we need to do is, starting at the federal level, is look at all of the legislation that most people consider law, which it's not, which equates to probably at least 98% of all the stuff that they call federal law is in violation of the Constitution in some way, shape, or form, because all of it, if you notice, has been instituted since 1871, the beginning of the deep state and the incorporation. And just as Fox News can be considered a controlled opposition, believe it or not, the NRA was incorporated in 1871 in New York State as well at the same time. So their political side, not their training, their side, the founding portion of their organization is fine, but the political side is controlled opposition. It is, because they've supported all the anti-gun legislation that has been instituted since 1911 in New York State with the Sullivan Act. So the first thing you need to do is, because it's not actually law to begin with, there is no repeal process required. Anybody looks and reads the Constitution should know that there should be no repeal, because you can just throw it in the trash can, because it's not law anyway, and you shouldn't be following it. Anybody that does follow it is actually in violation of their oath to the Constitution. Anyone that enforces it is in violation of their oath. So first thing we need to do is we need to toss all that crap in the trash can and go back to the singular law called the Second Amendment. Right. That makes it easy on that realm.
Right.
The other amendments in the Constitution, It's a little bit more gray area and stuff in some cases, but it should be fairly easy to rat out anything that is in violation of the Constitution and throw it in the trash. Because contrary to the brainwashing, the indoctrination, and the bullying,
right.
Okay, they're not law. Right. It's absolutely unequivocally not law.
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that, because you know what's going on right now. All these people are acting like OSHA just passed the mandate for businesses to mandate that their employees get the shot. But really, it's not a law. It was never a law. It was a press conference. There's not even an executive order yet. And yet all these companies are acting like it's a law. They better beware, because this is not law. And what they're doing is discrimination and actually against the law and violates the civil rights of everyone that they're firing.
And that's going to come around and bite them, because they think they're jumping on this false bandwagon that we're doing all these things. So, you know, and I'm not going to shed a tear for these people enforcing their own tyranny, because it gives them a power rush. It's not going to happen. And they're going to pay the price in the end. And when the people realize all this stuff and the truth comes out,
yeah.
These people, I don't know where on earth they're going to hide. Not even in Venezuela, like the Nazis did. Okay, they're not even going to be able to hide down there, because no. The people are going to come and find them, and it's going to be a problem. And frankly, anybody dumb enough to get in the way of the people dealing with the situation, you know, they're going to find a problem with that too. So once we take this pretended legislation and all this garbage on the federal level, we throw that in the trash. Then we look at all the states that have enacted all these laws, as they call them. We're going to get rid of those as well, because we're going to, and like the IRS, that whole tax code that's like 10 million feet thick. Guess what? It's all going in the trash, because none of it is legal anyway. So we're going to throw that in the trash. So we're going to need some big dumpsters. So if anybody out there has any good dumpsters that you want to donate, we're going to need them. All right. Every state house is going to need them. We're going
right,
to
big time.
So, but anyway, so what my thought is, and my plan is, and I've been thinking about this for a few months, we need to actually have a solid plan right. to put these agencies, okay, back into the bottle. Okay. And we are going to break it up into two of the constitutional organizations. First off, the sheriff's department. The sheriff is going to get back all of his power and all of his authority and all the manpower he's supposed to have. He's going to get it all back. And on the federal level, the U.S. Marshals. So what my plan entails is the sheriff, okay, is going to absorb all of the local law enforcement within his county. Of course, the sheriff's going to vet them based on oath violations.
Right.
All right. And if the person has basically violated their oath, well, they're out, they're done, because that's a deal breaker. That has broken their bond with the Constitution and God, and they need to go. We don't need those people around. We don't need those people moving forward. Okay. So the only people that are really going to lose anything are the ones who are tyrants. They're oath breaking egomaniacs. They've done stuff to deserve it. And we're going to weed that out real good. And the sheriff, of course, is going to handle that, because that's his county.
Right.
All of the assets, basically, they're just going to change the sign on the side of the car from whatever it is to sheriff.
Now, wait, let me ask you something about that. So how many sheriffs are there in America?
There's 3,000.
Yeah, so that's totally doable. And they have they're the law of the land. The sheriffs are the highest ranking law enforcement in the country. And people have forgotten that. Another thing, though, that we have to remember, and I know you know this, that every single one of these sheriffs have to have been duly elected. And we've had the cheating on the level that has happened with Donald Trump is off the charts. But that means that there's a lot of sheriffs that also were cheated for. And we got to weed them out. Like the one in Maricopa County, he's a total Soros plant, just like a lot of these AGs are Soros plants, and especially the ones that have gone with no bail and defund the police. Well, we got to get rid of the sheriffs that don't belong there as well. People really need to push for audits in their counties so that we make sure that every county of the 3,000 has a sheriff that is abiding by the Constitution and is duly elected by we the people. So that's still a part of that because they are elected.
Oh, absolutely. And there's actually event precedents there as well. August of 1946 in Tennessee, in McMinn County, they had a little bit of an uprising because the veterans came home from World War II and they wanted to run for offices. Well, they knew that there was a corrupt sheriff in town and they wanted to get rid of him. Well, it's called the Battle of Athens. Oh. Anybody can look it up. You can look it up. I walked the battlefield. I have a good friend that is actually the senior deputy for the county there. And he also has one of those banners like this one hanging in his office. Hanging in his office. Cool. So, yep, he's a good guy. So, there is precedence for correcting these sorts of things.
Right.
So now, the sheriff side of things is easy. All of the towns that have like little police department buildings and things like that, none of that has to go away. The budgets can stay the same. They're just gonna repaint the buildings, repaint the cars, put the guys in new uniforms, and they're going to crawl back inside the Constitution where they belong. Okay.
Yeah.
So now the interesting one comes with the federal side of things.
Right.
The U.S. Marshals have a uphill battle. But to make it easier, my plan entails the FBI, ATF, and DEA going away completely, along with everybody at this point in history. If you're not smart enough to have gotten out of those agencies, okay, you're part of the swamp and part of the problem. So you are no longer authorized to be any kind of law enforcement or any kind of public service. And depending on the scope of your oath violation, which is tantamount to treason, the punishment will fit the crime for sure. We want to make an example because you have to enforce this.
Right.
You have to enforce compliance with the oath. That's where we have fallen down since the very beginning, shortly after the founding fathers, probably actually around 1803, Marbury versus Madison. That all ties in together with this degradation of compliance with the oath.
Right.
And passing the buck and doing all these bad things. So the U.S. Marshals is going to have to vet all of these other federal agencies, like the Border Patrol people, which are really good people doing a really tough job. Basically, they're not going to have to lose their job because we still need people on the border, but they need to wear the uniform of the U.S. Marshal. Right. So they'll be working alongside, of course, the military, who actually has the first line of defense on our borders against non-U.S. citizens.
Right.
Then you have the sheriffs and you have the U.S. Marshals. So that's all you need is three agencies, you know, watching the border. You don't need all these other, you know, layers and layers of bureaucracy and layers of nonsense.
Right.
Okay. Which just increases the amount of tyranny that they can project.
Right.
And we can get this whole thing back into the bottle. In I think a relatively short period of time. And again, the citizens, we the people, we have that responsibility that we have been shirking. We've been shoving it off on someone else or expecting somebody else to do it. But as history has proven, whether it be law enforcement, okay, or politicians, none of them are going to keep themselves in check. None of them are going to prosecute each other. They're not going to punish each other. That has to end. That's why we the people have to have a way to do these things. And the vehicle that I've come up with is called the We the People's Oath Enforcement Task Force. Okay?
Yeah.
Where there's going to be a task force leader, all right, which initially I'm thinking I'm going to take that role for a while till we get things up and running.
Right.
My idea. And we're going to have a constitutional legal counsel, which I've already selected, and I need to get a hold of him and see if he's willing to do that job. This gentleman travels around the country and lectures and teaches on the oath and the Constitution. And
right.
he is actually the reason why it says pretended legislation creates pretended offenses at the top of the bill.
It's true. Okay. Yeah. I have mine right across the room. I'm looking at it. I love that thing. It's so yep. great. That should be the official flag of the new group.
Well, yep. Well, we can definitely look at that. It was designed as more of an educational thing, but that's a good idea. But the flag that we all need to fly, because it's we the people's flag, is All Glory.
Yep, that's true. You see what they're doing? They're trying to pervert it. Then we're not going to let them. We're proud of our flag. You know, when we're true patriots that love God and country, it really means something. And I'm seeing it all over the country, Paul. You'd be very happy to know everywhere we go. First of all, people love you and love you on the show. But even bigger than that, we are the majority. We are. If you get out of the California, New York, D.C. and go even Kentucky, Colorado, Tennessee, Ohio, and we go, there's 10,000 people and they love God and country and they love the stories that you tell and the founders and they want to know how they can help, how they can get involved. I told you, I was just at a Second Amendment event with Sheriff Mack that you're a big fan of. Yep. And he too is trying to do something similar. So, you know, what you're talking about right now is what people are craving, how to get involved. But also at the same time, I firmly believe 1-6 was a false flag set up to threaten we the people from taking any action against this tyrannical oligarchy in D.C. And you're the one who's actually coming up. We have another friend that does the PBI, the People's Bureau of Investigations, Tim Deaver. Similar concept. I mean, yours is another level where it's doable. It's law enforcement and all of that. But it's also about we the people being the ones that police the police.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it's more than just the police. And one of the requirements for being part of the core group.
Right.
Okay. Is that you have to be in a civilian we the people status, but like the sheriff's rep, like you need to be like a retired sheriff to fill that role.
Right.
For the politicians, the representative that would be like the liaison to the legislators and things like that should be an experienced patriot legislator, retired legislator. Okay.
And we do have all these law enforcement and first responders and military that are refusing this mandate. And they don't want to stop serving and protecting the country. They just don't want their civil liberties and their rights taken away by this tyranny. So all of those people, they're looking for ways to continue along in what they love to do, which is protect and serve the country. But they know that the model is broken and you're giving a solution here where those people could also get involved.
Oh yeah, they could definitely get involved with assisting with the lower levels of of these representatives, I envision every sheriff's department having a civilian in the area and an active sheriff's deputy at that level, who is going to be the liaison for that department. I hate to say this, it's a bad connotation, but internal affairs kind of idea, where you're basically making sure that the deputies are trained in the responsibility of their oath and that the oath is to God on behalf of the Constitution.
Right.
And that there is eternal ramifications for lying to God. So people, you know, when you go out on the street, you know, you need to keep that in the back of your mind that, hey, we're here to protect the people. We're not here to protect the government. So we need to stay, you know, within our oath, and that there is a consequence. You will lose your job.
Right.
If you were found to have violated your oath, you're done. That's it. It's over. Okay. And that's why there's a civilian and a deputy partnership at the local level, at the local county level, that basically brings these incidents to the task force. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they can review it and enforce it and basically dole out the required like removal of that person from that position.
Right.
Because that's the way we're going to do this. Now, in as far as the legislators go, okay, they already have someone designated to oversee the proceedings. It's called the sergeant at arms.
Right.
Well, guess what? We're going to put him to task now. So when you have a legislator, whether they're in the Senate or the House of Representatives at the state, local, whatever level that is, the sergeant at arms, his job is to sit there with the Constitution in his hand. And if some politician rears his ugly head and says, I propose this legislation.
Right.
And the sergeant at arms looks at the Constitution and goes, nope, you're done. And guess what? That's a job ender. Violating your oath is a job ender.
Right.
Right on the spot. There's no, you can't say, well, I didn't know. Okay. Well, if you're that stupid, you don't belong in that job to begin with.
Right.
If you can't read the Constitution and know that what you're doing is wrong, you don't need to be in the job anyway. So at the local level or at the federal level or whatever, for the politicians, there will be, of course, the liaison to the task force, which is going to be a experienced retired legislator, okay, that can relate to the legislators at the federal and the local levels, and you know, the talk to the sergeant at arms and things like that. So we have a checks and balances, but it all comes back to we the people. It's not up to the Senate to right. punish their own, because obviously they don't.
No.
Okay. They never have. The legislators in the House of Representatives, they have never punished themselves for their crimes.
No.
And the first thing we have to do is we have to purge all of these legislators.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Trump, President Trump, he is endorsing good ones.
Right.
So those are the seeds of the new growth. Okay. All the rhinos and the Democrats, depending on their level of crime, obviously, hopefully that's going to already be taken care of.
Right.
And most all of the Democrats will be seen no longer.
Right.
Because they're
no longer Democrats. They're like communist Marxist globalists.
Right. Well, I don't want to see them. I don't want to waste cash money on them anymore. They need to go bye-bye.
Right.
We get them out because that way they're not any problem in the future.
Right.
So we need to get this together. Once the truth comes out, the EBS goes off, everybody knows what's going on, and we need to restructure. You know, I've been working on having, you know, an idea of a plan. And, you know, I have a few people that I've already picked that to do these certain jobs initially to get this ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the dream team for the task force.
Yeah.
The people I think, are basically the top in their positions.
Right.
Still,
I mean, also this also brings it back to what we've been talking about the whole time, which was we are a constitutional republic and not supposed to be ruled over by a federal monarchy down in DC. And this really takes the power back to the states, which I've been saying to everyone is key to saving our country, is reinvesting in your state and local community and your local economy and everything, state by state, taking back state pride, taking back, you know, making sure that they don't interfere. This tyrannical government doesn't do a lot of the things which they want to federalize voting. They want to federalize healthcare. They want to federalize everything that's being done. They want to take away the state's rights. We, the people, have to remember the states are sovereign. And this DC, this sludge, this glue, this dirty, whatever it is that's supposed to be holding us together is completely toxic And your plan also returns to states' powers first. And I think that's really key to cleaning this mess up, because to me, DC is a dumpster fire and everyone there basically is a criminal, except for it appears like six or seven guys that are still fighting for We the People, but everyone else has to be in cahoots. Anyone who voted for that election committed treason, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's crazy. What a lot of people don't know, and I'm sure this is going to draw some ire from people out there, but the truth is the truth, and I'm not veering away from it, whether it hurts your feelings or not. But all of the law enforcement agencies, other than the sheriff and the U.S. Marshals, were all instituted by the deep state to protect the deep state, enforce tyranny, and at some point in time become the Einsatzgruppen of the modern era. So that's why we need to do away with all these things. And that's how history ties into everything. We have to take history in order to deal with the present, because it just keeps coming around and around and around.
Well, that's one of the jobs on the other side, is honestly education and fixing education and re-educating, and not in this creepy sense, but you and I both know that most of the education has been rewritten to benefit the deep state and the cabal and the globalists, and to blind. We have two generations right now in America that have no idea what's going on, don't know about Marxism or communism or socialism, and actually think it's a good thing. And really don't seem to care if America's sovereignty is ceded to this globalist cabal that just hijacked our elections and our country. And the educational part of this is really important. It's like, I wanted you to remind people about the what the sheriff is, because I don't think a lot of people, I was even talking to Sheriff Mack about it, I don't think a lot of people understand the importance of the sheriff in the big scheme of things, because people that do are asking, well, why aren't the sheriffs arresting people who committed fraud in the election and stuff? Can't they do that? Or why aren't the sheriffs going into that DC jail and freeing these political prisoners that are in jail for wrongthink? You know, it's like, so can you just explain real quick for the audience that might not be sure exactly what the sheriff does and why that position is so important and key to fixing this country?
The sheriff is elected by the people. He is the only law enforcement agent in the country, in each county, that is elected by the people. So they have a choice on who this is, and they vest immense authority and power in the sheriff, as long as the sheriff stays within his oath and within the Constitution. He's there for the people. He's there to be on the people's side, to uphold the Constitution, protect the rights, and he has the ultimate authority. And he has the authority to, he can kick any other organization out of his county that he deems necessary, whether it's the state police, whether it's the federal agency that's there to do harm to his citizens. He can kick them out, arrest them, do whatever he needs to do to affect the protection of the oath in the Constitution. So when a sheriff doesn't want to do that, it's one of two things, and I really hope it's not just ignorance at this point in time, because, you know, I've been preaching it for like at least probably 20 years. Sheriff Mack, who actually, when I met him, I don't know how many years ago, and I spoke at a couple rallies at the same rally with him over the years, and he's my go-to. If I have a sheriff specifically a question, I got his cell phone number in my phone if I have a question about it, because I'm not going to assume it on my own. I try to figure it out for myself, and then I bounce it off of him.
Yep.
Just like I call
him. And again, I met him this weekend at a Second Amendment rally in Pennsylvania, and the man couldn't be nicer, but he is so committed to this. And to also, he's very committed to educating people on exactly what you're talking about. Education's key for the general public. The people that you need on your task force are veterans, basically, of these different agencies that have kept their oath and are at the top. But then, you know, there's the average Joe that loves listening to you or Sheriff Mack, because these are things that they were never taught and don't know. And people might, when they're voting next time, first of all, we have to fix 2020 and make sure all the sheriffs and school board members and judges and all them are legitimate and were elected by we the people.
Yeah.
But going forward, we have to make sure that we vet and study and look up every single person that we put our vote for and their background and everything. And I think that things that your education that you're giving out is giving me people more incentive to actually realize, oh, wait, it's not just checking off right, you know, Republican or Democrat sheriff. That doesn't matter. What matters right. is what is their commitment to the Constitution? Where do they come from and where do they stand?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm going to put it out there. If, you know, if people out there want to get involved and they need to know how to get involved,
yeah.
if they go to their sheriff or get a hold of myself or get a hold of Sheriff Mack or right. something like that, if they want education brought to them, we can figure that out. Cause yeah.
People don't, want it. I'm telling you, people want to learn this stuff. People feel very, I mean, I've met with tens of thousands of patriots all over the country. People don't know a lot of this and they feel like they were ripped off because they were, but our whole education system, K through 12 and college, was hijacked. And that's why your voice is so valuable and becoming more valuable as people wake up and realize, wait a minute, like, yes, especially your show you did on the amendments. I think a lot of people had no idea, basically any of that, at least in depth. And every time that you come on, you give a little more. But I can imagine my audience right now is thinking, wow, that's a great idea. What part can I play or how can I, you know, get involved? And the best way is through education and joining up with groups and showing up and participating, because there's a part everyone can play in what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. There's a position for everybody to get involved. And the first thing is to get the education.
Right.
And then you can be a force multiplier. Right. The best thing to do is encourage your sheriff to raise a posse.
Right.
Okay? That could be the same people as the militia in the county. All right. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the same people in the county, because in a posse, there could be different roles that other people that wouldn't necessarily want to be as part of a constitutional militia, they would have a position too. There's a place to get involved at every level. You need to, you know, get with the sheriff and let them know you're interested.
Right.
Let them know, hey, listen, you know, I want to be part of this county. I want to be part of your posse. Encourage them to actually do that. Once those start getting set up, get in touch with me or Sheriff Mack, and we can start training them from the brain down.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, but we got to change the mindset. Proper education creates proper activity. You know, people doing the right thing when they know that they're in the right. It's like standing your ground for something in the Constitution, like these vaccines.
Right.
You want to say no, because not only are they designed to kill you, but they're also just against, you know, the Constitution to force you to do that. And
yeah.
With the task force, it's going to have, you know, representatives, experienced representatives from all these agencies. And I have one straight, what I call, consider patriot civilian in mind,
right,
to be on this task force as a representative, not of law enforcement, not of the military, not of, you know, the legislature, but a true hardcore, hard charging, hard fighting civilian patriot.
Right.
I have an idea who I want in that position at this yeah. point. Haven't been
and
able
you
to
can create the model, and then your model can be replicated all over once you have a good structure going. And the other thing is that I was saying to you earlier, I saw, I think it was The Intercept, put out a list of all the tech companies, what they call domestic terrorist groups, and you know, all that stuff. And you know, the first page is like a bunch of Islamic stuff, and then you know, then it's the white supremacist page, and then it's literally every militia in this country that was formed constitutionally, by the way. And I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, it's in the Constitution. This is not about threats to America. This is about threats to the oligarchy and technocracy that are running America. And can you explain real quick what exactly a militia is and what it says in the Constitution about it? Because I think that that's a good place for people that want to get involved. We have a lot of legal, law-abiding gun owners that just want to protect themselves and their family and their property, as the Second Amendment says, that are now also being threatened as domestic terrorists at a time when we have defund the police, there's no bail, and they literally are sanctioning Black Lives Matter and Antifa to run free around our country. We have all these Afghanis that they flew in that aren't the good guys. We have these people flowing through the border, going to God knows where, a lot of them to bases. People are scared right now, but 1-6, again, I think is a false flag they set up to threaten anyone interested in exercising their constitutional right. So can you explain that part of the Constitution and what exactly a militia is? Because it's not what these people are painting in D.C. right now.
The militia predates the Constitution. It predates the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
The militia started practically when boots hit the ground here in North America, when our founding fathers were coming over here from Europe.
Right.
So that is who started this whole country. It was the local militia. Every town had a group, and they were there. On some levels, they were there to Homeland Security. They are the original constitutionally authorized Homeland Security. They started out protecting groups against Indians in towns and an attack. They protected the town against any kind of threat whatsoever.
Right.
And then of course in the late 1600s, early 1700s, Britain became tyrannical,
right,
and started stuff early on in the 1700s that led up with Samuel Adams to the Revolution. And it was Captain John Parker who stood on Lexington Green in Massachusetts and told the British, you're not going any farther. So the Second Amendment basically is formed around the whole concept of a militia being we the people. People will realize that you actually have a citizen's duty to be a part of it, whether you're the person who cooks the meals for the militia, okay, when they're out in the field or doing whatever, okay, it doesn't matter. You need to support that. That is a birthright. Your birth certificate, or not birth certificate really, but you're being born, right, in a state, okay, creates the membership card, okay, to the militia. And also in 1903, there was a thing called the Dick Act, which basically solidified the difference between the National Guard and the militia, the organized, and I actually kind of believe that the National Guard actually should go back to being the militia.
I wish they would, but they it seems like they're not, honestly, if their leaders are compromised, then they're not doing that. But I believe most people go into the National Guard under the guise of wanting to be a part of the militia that protects their community, their state,
right,
and their country. Right. I mean, I believe that people don't go and give up a weekend a month and go to the national, you know, and become National Guardsmen and do all this stuff. and are doing it for any other reason except for wanting to traditionally be part of the first line of defense for we the people.
Right, exactly. Well, what it is structurally anyway,
right.
The deep state, I think, wanted to take control of the militia and put it underneath them. Right. And they called them the National Guard. And I think at the same time, that's when they started to demonize the true, uncontrolled by the government, we the people militia. Okay, so they decided that, oh, okay, we're going to take control of the militia, call them the National Guard, and we're going to be watching over them, and they're going to do what we say instead of what we the people need them to do.
Right.
So they demonized the militia. Well, we the people still maintain that right. There's nothing that can be done to take our right of the militia away.
Right.
They can't. They can demonize all they want, but that's where we need to educate people.
Right.
And the militia should work hand in hand with the sheriff's posse,
right,
in the county. And I think part of my plan going forward too is these states, just as they provide, let's say, weapons and ammo for the National Guard. All right. I think that they should provide training ammunition for all of the militias to properly train, given the fact that every single founding father has a quote that talks about the citizens being armed and trained and right. possess arms and everything. I don't think there's a founding father that doesn't have a quote about it.
Right.
But basically, I think it's the government, the state level government's responsibility to facilitate that and have a mechanism to provide ammo and to provide cross training with the National Guard, with the regular the military, because last I checked, we're all on the same team, and the militia can do things in the public that the military can't because of posse comitatus, which I don't want them doing their thing inside the United States. I want them doing stuff on the border and going overseas,
right,
project the power overseas. That's the military, the border and overseas. That's the military, the militia, the sheriffs and the posses. They're the ones who have to take care of internal security,
yeah,
within the United States. And what we need to do is we need to fight back, stand up against this nonsense. And resident Biden has sent the unconstitutional DOJ and the FBI out to harass parents.
I know.
Okay. I know. Not for nothing, but FBI agents, you better beware. Mama bears are mean. Okay. And they may say mean things to you. And you best not do anything back, because we the people, we will find you.
They're already calling them domestic terrorists. They're already going after them. Merrick Garland is a total radical. Thank God he wasn't on the Supreme Court. He's a disgrace, in my opinion. He also, his family has incentives for all of this to go after these parents. But the truth of the matter is that people are scared, Paul, I'll tell you. And they're getting mad. I think the biggest problem right now I'm hearing from most people is that they're seeing no justice, zero justice, which goes back to all these rogue judges. I did see today, finally, a federal judge said that the warden and the people running the DC jail that have these political prisoners that they're torturing in there and not giving medical care to are to be held in contempt. But who really cares? Because again, now we see another committee for a non-insurrection that was non-violent, that is totally fraudulent, is made up to turn us good people, patriots, into domestic terrorists in this wide no search and seizure sweep with big tech and the banks coming after us. You know, I just think people really, what you're saying needs to be put into action, and people really need to be empowered. Because people are scared. And I have a feeling with what I'm watching with Blinken and Biden and the UN and NATO, They are going to be calling, I believe, the UN is right now assessing our systematic racism and our white supremacy. Then you hear the World Health Organization and the CDC both calling gun violence in America a health issue, when we know there's no bail and no cops, and Black Lives Matter and Antifa are fully sanctioned by the deep state to wreak havoc on our country, not to mention what I said before about Afghans and the border. So, you know, I think people really need to find ways to empower themselves. And I think this is a good way. And I want people to start realizing that we do have a right to do this no matter what, but there's a level of bravery. And, you know, I had on Jovan Pulitzer talking about the election fraud. And he said, right now is the time that you earn your citizenship in America, yes. You know? And yes. I think that's where we are.
The U.S. Marshals actually should be the ones to go in there and drag all of those guards out and send them to Gitmo.
Yeah.
And rescue them. And if they need help, they can deputize all the citizens they need to make that happen. And I guarantee that if the U.S. Marshals put a call out for veterans, I know we would show up. Let me tell you.
Right. Right.
So they don't understand the bear they're poking. They really, really don't. And once they poke the bear and they break that balloon, there's no putting the air back in that balloon, and there's nothing that's going to save them. So they're going to learn a really hard lesson. So if the agents that be and the good guys in the white hats don't get rid of them soon, the people have had enough.
Yeah, that's what I fear. That's what I fear. I go all over the country. People honestly have had it. I mean, we have Rand Paul up there saying it's time to fear your government. And this is a call to action for patriots. And we don't have to be violent to protect ourselves and our family. We just have to follow the Constitution as written and our Bill of Rights and our Bible. And we, the people, have the numbers behind us and the majority, and stop believing that we don't.
People have to realize too, is that self-defense is not violence.
Right.
Okay. You have every right to do whatever it takes, whatever means necessary to protect your family, yourself, your property from these tyrants. Because once they violate their oath, okay, they are oath-breaking armed violent criminals. They are not law enforcement. It doesn't matter how they're dressed. We're not going to treat them based on what they look like. We're going to treat them on their hostile intent.
Right.
So you have a right, and self-defense is not violence. Right. Those who are coming after you, violating their oath, they are creating the violence. So people need to understand that. Standing your ground, like Captain John Parker did on Lexington Green, okay, is your absolute God-given right. He expects you to use it. And, you know, if they want to poke the bear and they want to come out and do stuff, they need to expect a backlash on a level which they can't comprehend.
Right.
Because
right.
They've gotten away with so much for so long. And one big important thing about the sheriff is that I see a lot of them coming out and saying, we're not enforcing it.
Right. Okay?
Guess what? No. That's only halfway to the marker.
Right. Okay. That's what I think when I see that.
Sheriff. Okay, the sheriff has to proactively send out his deputies, send out his posse to keep all the crap out of his county. He can physically, proactively stop it, drag them out. It's not about, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to make sure nobody else does it either.
Right. Well, that's been my issue with the sheriffs, and why I'm glad you and Sheriff Mack and other, a few other sheriffs are out there. I don't care if you're not going to enforce it. I care that there was an election stolen in your county and those people are free. Or you're not investigating it. Right. You're not calling on it. And I know a lot of the sheriffs are Soros-backed, placed in there, like Maricopa County, but a lot of them aren't. And I hope it's not that they don't realize that they can do that. But I would love to see a couple of sheriffs step up and make those moves. I think that would give the American people some hope that there are good guys out there besides the white hats and the bigger picture, but I mean on their local level. I really hope that you and obviously Sheriff Mack, and what you're doing here really to get some legs, because we need to have people that are pushing these sheriffs to make moves that might not be popular at the moment, but really could save our country in a major way.
Yep, the sheriff is an absolute integral part of this whole process of putting this demon back inside the Constitution,
right,
where it belongs, you know. And we the people have a duty to support them as long as they're doing constitutionally what they should be doing. And, you know, everybody can get involved with that. Everybody can go to their sheriff,
yep,
and say, hey, need to talk. Let's talk about the Constitution. Let's talk about you proactively going out there and enforcing. Right. If the sheriff needs to keep the state police out of his county, that's what he needs to do. He needs to inform the state, which the state doesn't need a police force. Okay. The state does not need that. Okay. So that's completely useless, because you have the sheriff in every single county, but he could call up the state at this point in time and say, I do not want to see one of your officers in my county. My deputies will arrest them, detain them, charge them with an oath violation, and that'll be the end of it.
Right. Okay, so let's. I want you to finish up your your plan is, and then also give people where they can find you, and also what they can do between now and our next show to kind of educate themselves and get involved.
Okay, basically the plan is going to be a core group of the task force,
right?
And then it's going to have its representatives at the local level with the sheriff and the U.S. Marshal regions and
right.
stuff like that, and also in the legislative houses. We need to have liaisons there, but we need people to support them.
Right.
And there's things that are going to have to be taken care of. And the deep state managed to even demonize the term NGO, which was originally right. supposed to be things in a government that aren't necessarily, they're not of the government, right. but they're handling stuff on behalf of the government. They don't have any authority inside the government, you know, right. like the FCC, the FAA, right. all those alphabet agencies that perform a function like that. They need to be a true NGO. Not a corrupt criminal NGO.
Right.
They need to be a non-governmental organization because they're not listed in the Constitution. At the state level, if they want to do that, that's different because of the 10th Amendment.
Right.
So the core group basically of what's going to happen with the task force is it's going to have a task force leader. It's going to have a rep for the sheriffs, a rep for the U.S. Marshals, a rep for the legislative bodies in the country, and then one just straight patriot civilian,
right.
okay, who is a diligent fighter for the for America, and I have a really good idea who I'd really really like to see do that right. job, because his energy is amazing, and it I'm pretty motivated. Let yeah, me tell you,
but
he's as inspirational and. And right. I think he'd enjoy being a part of this
great
cool thing. So, but yep. And everybody go to your sheriffs, talk to your sheriffs, start in your local neighborhood,
right.
Start with your neighbors, you know, five houses in each direction in your neighborhood.
Right.
And get together and have a little meeting.
Right.
You have that right. You might as well exercise it.
Yep.
Get together, start talking about the various things that you need to talk about. You know, and then expand, take that group, go to your school board meetings, right. go to your town board meetings and say, hey, we're the group from this neighborhood.
Right.
And this is what we're here to do.
Right.
And everybody can get involved. Everybody can. They need education.
We have to. This is the big message. You know, the tour I go with the most is General Flynn. And he's a big proponent of, you got to get out there. You got to organize. It's we're back in 1775, and it's between saving America and losing it forever. And that means being brave, getting off your couches, meeting with like-minded folks, starting your own groups, and then mobilizing and not being scared of their fear tactics And what they're trying to do is to make us docile and not fight back for our country. And you're given a good option here that I think is really doable and can then be replicated all over. And we have to take pride back into our backyards and start there, because it's not coming from DC and it never was supposed to. So, okay, Paul, where can people find you?
PatriotCAC@gmail.com.
Okay, and I'm going to be seeing Sheriff Mack this week, and maybe we'll set up something with the three of us upcoming. Okay. And kind of put some more teeth into this this thought. But everyone get out there and mobilize, and then get together and go talk to the sheriff about how you can get involved. And Paul's always available, and he'll be back next week. And thank you so much, Paul. You're a true hero and a patriot, and you never sleep. You're always looking for solutions to save this country. And God is definitely on your side. And like we always say, God won, but we the people have to fight alongside God to make sure that this country is turned around right for once and all for all, and to move forward in a far better way with a lot clearer vision. So thank you so much for all your work, and I will see you next week.
All right. And Trump, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.